I'd like to talk a little bit about covenant in the Old Testament and how it relates to a marriage, our marriage covenant. So we're gonna do a kind of a quick overview. It's not gonna be long, and I'll try not to bore you too much. I'm excited about what God has planned for us in our marriages. And on the onset of that, I want to say this. All of us here as speakers are no better than you guys. We're broken in the sense. Like, I have to tell you a story. My wife and I also like to travel, and we were down for a wedding in Costa Rica for a wedding. And we were with family the whole time, and we had some time together, and there's this thing that we're going to do when we get back is we're going to do this retreat. And so we're talking about it. I'm studying down there. And this argument just kind of came out of nowhere. My wife and I had this argument. And we needed to both just process it a little bit. And so here I am, the guy is supposed to be in charge of this marriage retreat, sitting on the couch praying and saying, "Lord, help us get through this thing." That's life. God worked through us. But you know, wherever there's a God, there's a Satan, and he wants to destroy your marriage. There's a war going on. And this war, this weekend, we're going to be practical. I don't like fluff. I like straight, practical talk. We're going to talk about sex this weekend because the world talks about sex. The world is out there every day bombarding you, me, and our children about this topic. And the church has been far too quiet about it. So we're going to talk about it. It's a beautiful thing. We are sexual beings. God made us sexual. And if you don't think you're a sexual being, pick up a book. If you're a man, I've noticed this about myself. I'll grab a book about married life. And the one chapter that talks about sex, that's what I go to first to read. It's the way God made us. But we enter marriage sometimes when we think in candles, Red Lobster, romance, right? But the Old Testament has a beautiful story, and I'm going to talk to you about this, about marriage should be. God has pursued his people from the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, what did he want to do? He wanted to build a relationship with them. He wasn't just content to create something. He created everything else, but with Adam and Eve, he wanted to establish a relationship. In Genesis 3:8, it says, God walked in the cool of the day looking for Adam and Eve to talk to. He wanted to communicate with them. Because the very nature of God is a pursuing God. God has always pursued his people throughout history, and it's a creation principle. He has pursued his people relentlessly. With the children of Israel, he pursued them, and he, in his pursuit of them, I'm going to back up a little bit. In his pursuit of them, he covenanted with them. Why? Because he wanted a relationship with them. And in some ways, it mirrors a type of our marriage today. Now, I want to talk to you about covenant. What is a covenant, and what is a contract? So, a covenant is a physical commitment between two people on earth that's established in heaven. Throughout Israel's history, a covenant was an important concept. There were people of covenant, of the covenant land, and they had so many covenants that when there was an attack against Israel, they called it attacked against the covenant. Now, I want to talk to us about a covenant. Every covenant that was given... Sorry, I'm going to make this bigger here. Every covenant that is given, God ordained a physical act that went along with this. In Genesis, God told Abraham, he said, I want you to be perfect, and I will give you many children. And so the text says that God put Abraham to sleep. And he introduced a cut covenant. He had him take animals, split them in half, and put them on either side of a trench. And this is the way they did in the Old Testament. If there was a big contract that you were going to do, you would set this up, and you would split the animal and you would put them, and as the blood would flow together and come down the trench, you would walk through that. Let's say I was selling Marlin 200 head of sheep, and there was a bride price involved in that, and it was a serious business. When we made this covenant, Marlin would walk through that, and I would walk through that. And the point of that would be, if I fail in this contract, then you can do to me what I'm doing right here. It was serious unto death. That was a very serious covenant. But what God did in that covenant was, as the text says, he passed through twice. You know why? There's no way man could uphold his end of the deal. And at that very moment, God sealed Jesus' death on the cross. That is covenant. Don't forget this throughout this whole weekend. God is a God who pursues his people because he wants a relationship. And when he pursues them, he covenants with them. You know, there's a tribe in the Middle East that still practices this today. If a son comes to another family and says, I want to marry your daughter, they set this cut covenant up. Now, the guy better be pretty straight if he's going to pull that off, because they'll come after him and they'll kill him if he treats their daughter or wife as a wife wrongly. A marriage covenant is a relationship bound on in heaven. And it has boundaries, and it has rewards. The other thing, I want to show you one other picture real quick. God, when he pursued his people, he came to his people. When God came to the children of Israel as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, he blew, it surprised all the neighboring communities around them, because they'd never seen a God that came down to their people. All they had ever seen was a God that demanded of them. And suddenly, here is this God who's leading them at night with fire, and he's leading them with cloud. Go back and read the Exodus story with that perspective. It is awesome. Because that's the heart of God, a God who pursues. Now we'll move on to the next point. A contract is just a binding idea or a binding contract between two parties. And that's what the world has brought marriage down to, as a contract. It's not a covenant. And the world says that marriage is good as long as we meet each other's needs. As long as my wife is fulfilling my needs, we have a good marriage. Let some problems come up or whatever happens, and things don't go the way we want to, then we fall out of love. That's contractual marriage. A covenant marriage says, we are married for life. And we meet each other's needs because we have chosen to love, and we've committed to each other under God. A covenant marriage doesn't fall in and out of marriage. It's committed for life, and divorce is never an option. Because we have made a vow to God and to each other. A covenant love works through problems, and it makes us stronger. Contractual love looks for a way to get out of a situation. A covenant love says, no, I'm going to sit down on the couch and pray and ask God to help me work through this. When I first met my wife, she lived in Costa Rica. And I want you to think about the first time you guys met your wife. A neat thought, right? Or your wives, the first time you met your husband. That's a neat thought. Aaron talked about that today when he met his wife. So I met my wife in Costa Rica. No, she was up here. She's from Costa Rica. And we hit it off right away. One of the things we had to learn was we had to communicate, because I didn't get to see her every weekend. I would fly down about every 8 weeks. And I discovered really quickly, it took effort. It took commitment. It took pursuing her, even when my feelings weren't always there. And we learned how to deal with life very quickly. This guy that she thought was so amazing initially, and you know, we would take walks, and I was suddenly interested in photography. I was kind of interested in it, but she was interested in it, so I had never done this with a girl before, but we would go on walks to shoot pictures. I'm not a good photographer, by the way. We don't even take pictures anymore. She's a better picture person than I am, but we don't do that. But it got the job done, so I was into photography. And one Valentine's Day, I had to think ahead, because on Valentine's Day, I had to buy a card and mail it down weeks in advance so she would get it. So I bought her this card, and we were seeing each other, but we weren't engaged yet, right? So it was a mouse on a piece of Swiss cheese. I don't know what the card say, Joe. It was kind of weird. I can tell you right to the store I bought it at. And so I got her a card for Valentine's Day. That's great. A year later, guess what I did? I went to the same store. I bought the exact same card, wrote about the same thing, and sent it to her again. Little did I know, she was like, oh my word, what kind of a mouse-eating cheese thing is this? But I tell her, at least I'm consistent. But that's the reality of life. We live in a world where sometimes our marriages aren't always perfect. But I continue to pursue her. I learned to fly cheap, going to see her, because it took commitment and it took pursuit. But I would do it all over again. The only thing I would change is the mouse and the cheese. I'd change that card. Covenantal love also is a God that pursues. So the way men pursue a wife, that's kind of a type of how God pursued the children of Israel. And there are four pillars that I like to think about that hold up covenantal love. The first pillar is faithfulness. That is an attribute of God. Everything about God is faithful. God is never unfaithful. I am unfaithful to my wife sometimes. I'm not talking about sexually, but I'm saying there are times when I fail as a leader. There's times when I really blow it and I have to go back and apologize. When we are married, when you stood up there and you were married, that was one of the things in your vow, was a promise for sexual faithfulness, right? There's many different vows, but that is one thing that seems to run all the way through in a marriage covenant. When we enter into a covenant relationship with our spouse, this is a relationship where we promise to faithfully only share our sexuality with that person that we have covenanted with. That's one of the first pillars. The boundaries that God set up in a covenantal marriage are very important, and it is not to punish or exclude a person, but it is a framework where the very best that God has designed for marriage can be enjoyed. Think of our culture today. Think of the children that are born out of wedlock and don't have a chance for a godly home because their parents went outside of that framework of faithfulness, because they viewed their marriage as contractual and maybe found another partner. The second pillar in covenantal love is intimate knowing. This is a place that involves the physical side of a marriage covenant. This takes place when a covenant has been established. In a covenant marriage, this is a physical act that God has ordained to remind us of the covenant that we have with each other. So, as married couples, when we are intimate with each other, we are, in essence, this is the physical side of a covenant relationship. And doing that act should remind you and I of the covenant that we have entered into. Now, all of a sudden, all the men are interested in covenant, aren't they? No, that's beautiful. In a covenant relationship, the intimate knowing is a place. God wants to know us intimately. And He's designed us as sexual beings to love each other. And this is the culmination of love. Intimate knowing. Sacrificial giving is another pillar. There are many times in a marriage when the act of intimacy needs to be a place where we learn to sacrifice, because each party is looking out for the enjoyment and the pleasure and the protection of the other party. And this only works when both parties are committed to that. But in a covenant marriage, there is sacrificial giving. It just is. It's not about you. It's about serving and blessing your partner. When we as men are demanding of things that our wives are not comfortable with, or if a woman only wants intimacy on your timetable, these are things that couples really face with in life. This is reality. And by learning to sacrifice, and sacrificial giving is a pillar that is a part of a marriage relationship that is under God's covenant. Number four, passionate celebration. A marriage without a passionate celebration is dead. It is the glue that binds us together. In fact, intimacy in marriage produces pathways in our brains that are designed to cause us to be extremely attracted to each other. And that is the way God made it. It is the glue that really makes a marriage work. Now, the Jewish people believe that when you wanted to pray to God and to seek God, you did it with intention and with passion. And sometimes in our marriages, it takes intention in order for there to be passion. There has to be time set aside. There has to be, you have to be intentional about it, because life gets busy, right? Life gets very busy and hectic. I want this weekend to be about covenant renewal between my relationship with God and my relationship to my wife. Because without God in the picture, all we're doing here is just talking about how we can have a better marriage. If Jesus Christ is not the center of my life and the center of my home, unless the Lord build the house, the Bible says they labor in vain that build it. God is in the redemption business. And you know what? We're all broken. I'm broken. You're broken. None of us are perfect. None of us have it figured out. That's why we come together and we look at God's word and we listen to other people's stories and we learn how to improve our marriages. This is what the God of the Bible says, who has pursued his people and has covenanted with his people. He says this in Hebrews, "Come, let us reason together. Though our sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow." In essence, God's saying, come, let's sit down, let's talk about this. When we're in a right relationship with God, our sins are taken care of, and they're white like wool. Our right relationship with God needs to be one where intentionally we seek him and we passionately pursue him. When we do that, what did Jesus say happens when he is lifted up? We're drawn together. When my wife and I are intentionally and passionately into the word of God, and we're not always there, you know what happens? Our marriage gets drawn together. You want to be connected at a spiritual level with your spouse. If you're connected with your wife as a spiritual level, men, if you are not leading your wives spiritually, start. Because you will benefit physically from it. You need to be connected as in body, soul, and in spirit. And if you're connected in spirit, your marriage will reach a level of beauty that you never thought would happen. We're going to hear more about that tomorrow. In closing, I believe God wants us to have a relationship where we grow old and we're happy and we're excited about our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we're excited about each other. And I see that here tonight, and that excites me.